Welcome to episode 18 of the Judgmental Podcast. I'm your host, Andrew Galea, and I'm here with George. G'day, George.
Good day to you. How are you guys doing out there?
I'm doing great too, George. Going really well. Been pretty busy. George and I are always struggling to get time to do the podcast, but we managed to squeeze one in today, which is great. And George, you're melting in a heat wave, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. One of the biggest ones in recent history. So the paint is peeling off the walls from the heat, pretty much.
I guess the problem with heat waves in Europe, same as when I was in the UK, is that it's not overly built for that weather. I was looking at stats the other day where there was like 90% of US houses have a air conditioner and 80% in Australia, but it's like 6% or something in most of the European countries. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. No one has air conditioning. The only place you have air conditioning is in your car.
Yeah.
We usually don't even have it in our like shops or our shopping mall, like maybe our shopping malls, but
wow.
Most places you won't have AC, including like restaurants and cafes and stuff. So
because over 40 degrees Celsius, right?
Yeah. We just kind of sit outside and complain a lot. That's kind of our main strategy for dealing with it.
Cool. Anyway, you managed to get your daughter to sleep. So we've got a small window for a podcast.
That's right.
So today we're going to cover a few things. Jeff and I are about to fly out to Gen Con in a couple of days, so I'll give an update on that. We're also revealing a new hero, which is going to be exciting. It's been, I think the last one we did was Fazil, and then we did Dorga Khan. So, yep, this is the next one's coming out, so that's great. We've got that to talk about. And George and I are going to do something special where we're going to talk about the Vassal League as well, because there's been a lot of games.
We've got some updates for you.
Yep. George is killing it. And then we're going to talk about if we were going to prepare for a world championship tomorrow in Judgment, what would we take? So we're going to talk about our thought processes, and the tournament will have both Scorched Earth and Cobblestone map. So we're going to talk about that as well, and we'll go through what we end up with our seven each. For those who have missed it, we are redoing the 5v5 Cobblestone and bringing out a version that has marked terrain on it. We've already play-tested it, and we've done a bit of... So we're going to get that printed out and prototyped, and then we'll get it out. So that's super cool. For people who have the Scorched Earth map without the terrain, we will be producing a terrain pack you can buy that has all the pieces in the right scale, and we'll get that produced through Muse, and you could use that as well for your games. So it should be good. Cool, George. So let's talk about Gen Con quickly. So we fly out, because of all the time differences, we're actually flying out Tuesday morning, but the convention doesn't start till Thursday next week, American time. So we sort of gain a day, like we take off Tuesday and kind of land Tuesday. It's a bit weird, even though we're in the air for like 28 hours or something.
Because you're flying backwards.
That's time. Right. Yeah. So it's worse on the way back. Like you get on the plane on a Monday and get home on a Wednesday, but that's just how it is.
Yeah.
So we're going there. So Jay Larson from DGI and from Chain Attack podcast, for those who know the War Machine Chain Attack podcast, Jay is going to be in the store with us. We're staying with him in Indianapolis. Also Whaley, for those who know Whaley, he's a very popular and well-known War Machine player. He's also there, so he's just hanging out with us for the week, I think. So it should be really good fun. Jeff and I are really looking forward to it. I'm going to take a ton of photos. We're going to do some recordings when we can. Should be great. We're releasing the new hero while we're there. Shan is getting sold for the first time, so we had a really big crap load of pre-orders.
Please tell me that you're going to be unveiling the new hero on the stream.
Yeah, I'd like to do that, yes. If we can get a good enough connection... I'll be doing that.
Yeah.
So
that's amazing.
I'll have my laptop we'll be doing that. So as long as we can get a good enough connection, which we should be able to get at some stage. So we'll be doing that. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, there's nothing as exciting as a live hero reveal.
Yeah, it is good fun. It's good fun doing them as well. But this one's really cool. It's we've given a few sneak peeks. People have an idea that it's goblin-like. And there's a new type. So you know how Jaeger and Fazil introduced cavalry, then we've got a new type coming. So it's really cool.
So, I'm super excited for this one. We've only seen very little from the goblin race so far, but from what we've seen, I'm super, super excited.
Yeah.
And if Jaeger is anything to go by, I think I think goblins are just going to be amazing and fun and really cool and fun to paint. I actually have my Jaeger now, and I'm actually starting to put some paints on it, and it's a really, really, really good model. I gotta be honest with you. It's, I think, so far out of 2019, it's probably been my best modeling purchase.
Wow. Yeah. So it's amazing how good the plastics are, hey?
Yeah, it's just, I was a little bit skeptical because you're like, you know, you hear pre-assembled plastic and then you kind of get this mental image in your head that it's going to be like the quality of those cheap little green army men that you used to play with when you were a kid. And I was like, I don't know about this. But then you just unpack it. And I mean, it's the perfect product, right? Because A, it's assembled, right? But it's assembled, like, you don't see, like, the seams or anything, quote unquote, right? So it's assembled really well. There's, like, one mold line that you have to clean, and that's it, right? Other than that, there's nothing, right? You don't have to worry about it gluing the way that it's made and cast. I don't foresee anything breaking off of that model. Unless I get really unlucky and it falls off a table and lands right on the crossbow.
Yeah.
But then, you know, you can't avoid that. You know, that don't throw your models off the table is the only advice I can give you there. Right? So the quality is incredible. And it's just, it's so weighty. Like, it's such a
Everyone says chunky, that. Yeah.
weighty model. It just feels really good to have in your hand. And up to top it all off, the box that you get it in is also the perfect transport container.
It is.
I mean if I'm going to be honest, I think you guys are really onto something here with this package. I think you should package all judgment models in this way so that the box that you get it in has a pre-molded a cavity, so that when you assemble the model, you can put that model into the cavity and you can put the box, just fold up the cardboard box and use that as your storage and travel container. And then you just have like a, you know, just a regular empty army case, and you can just put all your cardboard boxes with all your individual heroes individually protected within those pre-molded plastic carrying little things. It's ingenious. I love it.
Yeah, I think long-term, I mean, that's our long-term strategy with the game. It's just, for us, we've explained, it's very expensive initially to make the models that way. There's a really large minimum first run you have to do to get them made that way. So Jaeger's anyone we've done at the moment. We want it, Fazil, we're not doing, Dunraka, they're both going to be in resin. But hopefully the models we reveal, the hero we reveal in at Gen Con will hopefully be the second one we'll do in that mold, which would be fantastic. So, I agree, George. And when you open it, it's weighty and you can play with it straight away. It's awesome for people in stores. They can buy that and then immediately play it. So it's got a lot of advantages. I think, I mean, everyone was skeptical, I guess, until they get it in their hands and you think, well...
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, it's simply because it hasn't really been done well before, right? Mm. Pre-assembled models may have been done before by other companies, but it's always been cheap and tacky and low quality. And you can see where, like, they push the pieces together, so you have these big gaps and stuff. But really, guys, wait until you get your hands on this Jaeger model and see for yourself. I think the quality is outstanding.
Mm.
And I think really this is... I think this is the future for at least on this scale model gaming. I think Judgment is a perfect game to have these really solid, chunky, pre-assembled plastics because it's so user-friendly. It's really it's just a complete package. And yes, I do agree that it makes it a little bit harder to make conversions.
Yeah.
Right, that I understand. Obviously, you know, if you want to do super crazy conversions, then you know you want to go with the kind of like the GW multi-part plastic sprues, where it's really easy to chop little pieces off and combine stuff together and make conversions that way. But if you really wanted to convert Jaeger, I think you could do it pretty easily.
Yeah, I think you could too. I mean, you need to be willing to cut the model. But you can do it. I'm all, you know, I think it's, and it's a little bit more difficult to paint sometimes and hard to get places. But yeah, I think, I don't know. On the look, as we said, not everything will be done this way immediately. I'll do a couple of more when we can. But I think it's, yeah, I think it's people should wait till they get it in their hands before they decide.
Yeah, exactly. I was very, very impressed with what I got, and I did not expect the quality to be as good as it is. So
yeah, cool.
Definitely, definitely a converted man over here.
Excellent. Okay, so let's move on to the Vassal League. I'm looking at the tables right now. Guns is, myself, is ahead of Pool A, and Magnetic is leading Pool B with 3 out of 3 wins, George. You're on fire.
Yeah, that's a bit surprising myself. I gotta say, it hasn't been easy. Out of those 3 games, 2 of them I could very easily have lost.
Yeah, you've had tough games. Yeah,
definitely. So the last since our last episode, I managed to play 2 games. I played 1 game against Jarek.
Yep.
This was I think it was like, for me, it was like a late night Friday match or something. I was like, started at like 1 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, this went really late, didn't it? That's right.
I got to bed at 5 o'clock in the morning. It was brutal. I have to say that game was one of the most intense back and forth games of Judgment that I've ever had. It was an emotional roller coaster from start to finish, and it just went on forever because neither of us could get the killing blow.
Yeah,
so we ended up having to just grind it out until somebody got 5 souls.
Yeah.
And I was lucky enough to be the one, but for a very long time it didn't look like I was going to make it.
Mm.
So like I ended up with a pretty strong start in terms of map position. So actually, hold on. So Jarek's warband was Bastion, Rakir, Thrommel, Skull, Sayin, Zonya, and Cavado.
Yeah.
So he has a lot of pretty cool synergies. I ended up, I believe, banning Bastion simply because of the fact that I wanted us to be kind of even on dice maths. I figured that if it ended up becoming a long game, then the dice advantage that Bastion gives you, it's gonna spiral out of control in the long run eventually, and I didn't want to have that. And let's see, we played, let me just check which map we played on. We played on Doopadoo. I think it was map 3.
Yeah, no, map 1, round 7 it was. Yep, map 1.
Yeah. Yep. And like I said, so I managed to get a pretty good early advantage because Jarek managed to miss getting a monster kill on his first turn with his Zonya. He ended up leaving Inferno on 1 hit point. So he decided against using his fate ability to kill him with Zonya. And then I was able to do a walk, shoot and steal with my Victor to steal the kill. Actually, I think it was an Ash Tooth.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, it was an.
So you stole the level. Yeah.
So I stole 2 fates worth and a level and the item from a Zonya, which is really good because if Zonya had gotten the kill, she'd gone straight to level 2.
You could have bought an item. Yeah. Yeah.
Boots of agility and a Vorpal blade, and then it's just downhill all the way from there.
Oh,
right.
Cool.
So you know that really helped me out getting that.
When it's an Ash Tooth and you're going to get 2 fate for it, and I almost always spend the fate to kill it, like. You're still going to get a fate. You're going to be a fate ahead, but yeah, risking that.
That's
if opponent stealing it. Yeah, it's pretty devastating. Yeah. Mm. Mm. Cool. So you. It's hard to get games organized because it's just the nature of the beast the with the
difference.
Time zones. But
yeah,
it's ticking along okay. I mean, I had that one devastating loss of Chunky that I wrote a massive thread about where. Oh man, I can't get over it. But I ended up, I had like a 97% chance of winning the game and ended up losing 5-0 because it just fell apart. It was, I haven't
so
played
brutal.
Since. It's been, I've tried to organize games, but I haven't gotten around to it yet. But I'm still ahead. I'm on 3 wins, and Chunky and Bieber are both on 2 wins with they've got a loss each. But in the Pool C, the Guard Dog and Tiriff have broken away from the pack. They've got 5 wins each. Tirus 5 out of 5. So it looks like those two are going to take the top two spots. But don't forget, the top two third place finishers also get a spot in the playoffs. So it's still fairly open at this point in time.
Yeah.
But yeah. So you also played, you played Jerick and the draw.
Cry Socorro.
Ah, yes.
Okay. For my second game. Yeah. So the Jerick game, basically I took an early lead and then he came back really, really hard. This was the game where I learned how good Saiyan is. And I played against you as well, and you used Saiyan as well, right?
Oh, that's right. We had a grudge match.
Yeah, we had a grudge match for the Vassal Channel, and Saiyan is pretty legit. Like that 3-inch range with the point blank, it's actually surprisingly hard to dodge.
Yeah.
Her shots, and if you're carrying souls around, like. It's really scary against melee aggressors who just got a kill and are carrying a soul, because like especially like my Thorgar, if my Thorgar is running around with a soul or two souls on his head and then there's a Saiyan on the team, it's actually really, really scary.
Yeah. Well, I actually just realized I haven't broadcast our match onto
YouTube. Yeah, it's only on Twitch right now.
Yeah, I've got to get that. I've got to put it up there. That was a good game. We played our Vassal. Yeah. We played our Vassal League, didn't we?
We played our Vassal teams against each other, and we won't spoil it here. You guys can watch it. There was plenty of trash talking throughout the game and lots of conversation. But it was a really good match. Actually, it was very very technical and. Some really nice positioning shenanigans going on.
Yeah, there was. It was great.
So that was a great game.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm looking forward. I mean, we've got the Jagon coming up, but it'll be interesting to get to the point where we can get to the finals as well of the league, which is going to be great. So hopefully we'll get a chance to get there soon. And I mean, it's going to be, because last time, George, you did make the playoffs. You scraped in, didn't you, at the end?
I think. That's right. Yeah. So I started off 0-3. I think I lost my first three games, and then I clawed it back and just started winning all of my final matches. And then I think it was down to the last game, and not only did I need to win my last four games, which I did, but I also needed one specific person to lose.
Oh, that's right.
In their last final matchup, on tiebreaker, I think it was on souls. Yeah, first tiebreaker souls. So that on souls, I would pull ahead, and I think on points, it was really complicated. Close. Like I needed a lot of things to go in exactly the right sequence of events for me to get through.
Because you had a horrendous start, didn't you? You had a horrendous start.
And then I went into the playoffs and got a top of two'd by Chunky's effigy killing. Right. Shenanigans.
Yeah, I forgot about that. That was hilarious.
Oh, dude, it was so brutal. It was so brutal. I hope that doesn't happen to me again. I mean, I'm more aware of it now, so the chances of it happening to me again are less than it was before, but it's still utterly savage. I didn't expect that was going to be a thing in this game, but if you play it right and you have forward effigies, you can, you know, pick up, I think it was two souls. Yeah, he had two souls, and then he just put 12 damage on my effigy.
Yeah, I remember watching that. I watched the game. I remember it was pretty awesome. Yeah, I'm looking at the last year's tables. You came in fourth, just
that's right.
On you end up you got it on wins because Refugee was on three, you were on four. That's right. Yeah, I remember that now. So that was good. All right. So anyway, looking forward to that. That's the Vassal League. We'll keep playing it, and then. We'll get closer to the playoffs.
That's right.
So, George, if we're going to play, our next segment, we're going to talk about if we're going to go to World Champs.
That's right.
Yep. So, we're going to talk. So, the World Championship, we're just theoretically, we'll make it. It's going to be half rounds in Scorched Earth and half rounds Cobblestone, or 5v5. So, we need to bring seven heroes. And we're going to just kick it off. This is a bit not overly planned. We're going to kick off our thought processes, and in the end, we're both going to come up with our own warbands, seven of each.
Yeah.
So, all right. Do you want to kick off first, George, or do you want me to start?
You can go ahead and start with your first hero. I'm just want to pull up all of the heroes so that I have them on a row.
Awesome. So I do things, when I do things like this, I think about it in like segments. So I currently I'm going through a phase where I always want to play with a defender. So that means my first thing I start with is I'll pick two defenders that I want to take in my seven to cover any bands. At the moment, the defenders, I've always said it for a long time, they're all so good. It's a very even class, but there's a fair amount of differences between the way they play. Currently, I'm going for chunky defenders. So I actually, at the moment, if I was going to play tomorrow, I'd take Sean, and I think I'd take Dhonrakha. They're my two. Don's not one I've played a lot lately. I've been a big Skull fan, and I've used Sky lately. But I think the thing that does it with Sean is I love her movement. Her ability to move people 4 inches is invaluable. It adds a different dimension to what defenders can do. She's not. I feel her actual defense ability is probably one of the worst. So it's situational where you give cover to someone. I feel like Bulwark's better than that. I like Dhonrakha's taking the first hit better than that. But I think her utility, she's a bit more of a utility than the other defenders. And the fact she ignores the first res. Like when I take a Dhonrakha or someone, people are inclined to take. Or if you've got a lot of one res guys, they're inclined to take the armor shredder. But if she's on the table, you almost don't take it because it's just a useless against her. Anyway, so I think if I'd start, I'd pick two defenders and I'd pick Sean and Dhonrakha. They'd give me,
Sean and Donnie.
yeah, they give me great coverage. I'm de guaranteed to have a great defender on the table, and yeah, that'd be my pick for starters. So how would you kick off yours?
Well, I think I would follow you in bringing Shan. She's in my vassal team, and I've gotten to play her a little bit more. I managed to get to play her both against Jarek and Socorro. So my last two games, I both played her, and I actually in those both of those games, I actually ended up leaving Styx at home. And both times they didn't get banned. But I decided to drop him, leave him at home, and it caught both of my opponents completely off guard. What I did instead was played two defenders. And especially during my last game against Cry Sakaro, Shan just completely dominated the table. She got into the middle behind my opponent's wall, right? So past the midline. A fighting over, across the wall with my opponent's squishies, i.e., his Zafin and his Styx, and she was just going bananas with the hammer time. She was just going in, and she was just. And the thing is, right? It's a 6-inch place, and you don't realize how much distance that can get you until you start playing it. And it was savage. I was hammer smashing his characters back into his own deployment zone, which is
What? Yeah,
something.
that's massive.
And right next to the effigy as well. I was kind of throwing him onto the effigy, and then he would be placed off to the side because of least disturbance, right? So he would have to not only cover that 6-inch distance to get back into the game, but he would also have to spend an extra couple of inches maneuvering around the effigy to try and get back into the fight. And it's a really, really powerful effect. I think people don't give it enough credit that it deserves yet, but they will once they've had it used against them. I think in terms of defenders, she has the best fate ability. I think
Right, okay, big
probably
call.
bar
Yeah,
none. So she's definitely a solid pick from me.
And who would you pick a backup for her, or you just go with one?
I've been playing Skull. I've been playing Skull and Sean together. I think using them together on the same warband and together on the table in the same game is also pretty powerful. I think Skull, I don't really see Skull as a real defender. I see him as a just as a tanky hybrid, because that's what he feels like to me. You know, sometimes he does crazy DPS, sometimes he does really good healing and protection, sometimes he just face tanks a monster, and sometimes he's just a body who sits there to control shrines. I'd have to think pretty hard about bringing Skull again, because sometimes there are particular matchups, particular scenarios that he seems to fall a bit flat, and then you start clutching only on bulwarks, and then all he's doing is walking, engaging somebody, contesting a shrine, and dropping one bulwark. And I think sometimes that's not enough.
I tend to agree. I think the people who, and I don't like it when I'm using him and I'm just relying on, he's just doing bulwark every day, every turn. It's like, well, yeah, I agree. I think, which is one of the reasons why I've switched to Dhonrakha. Dhonrakha's level 3 is quite good. Like, if it's late game, and it normally is, if he ever gets there, it's one fate, and everyone within 3 inches heals 3 health. And he's normally in the middle of your warband. You normally got fate late. It's not slowing him down, because it's not an action. It's just a fate. So you can do all your three things. You can charge something, put stone form up, and then heal everyone 3. Plus he's regen of 3. He's quite good. He becomes, at level 2 or 3, he becomes really difficult to kill. A lot of effort to bring down. So that's why I brought him. And I switched
and he's, to and he's him. Super fate efficient.
He is, yeah. He's unbelievable. He's
super fate efficient. Yeah.
He's good. Yeah. So did you have a second one, or you're not just taking one defender for this 7?
Well, I'm going to stick with Sean for now. Maybe depending on the rest of the warband, I will maybe come back and take another defender. But for now, I'm going to go with Sean, and I'll complement her with Styx. Because I want Sean and Styx together in the same 7.
So you've got Sean, and I've got Sean and Dhonrakha. Right, cool. So once I've done my defenders, the next thing I normally do is I go to aggressors. Because these are the two things at the moment for me. Just personally, are 1+ choices. So I always want to play with a defender, and I always want to play, obviously, with at least one aggressor. So at this point, I will go to the aggressors, and if I was playing for, like, the world title, I would almost certainly take Rikir. For me, I just use him very well. I'm known for using him well. I love his utility, and he's escaping. So I'd take him. Then, because he's a 1-inch reach guy, 1-inch melee, and he's also fate hungry, my second aggressor, melee aggressor, would normally be one that is not fate hungry. So the options there are like a Thorgar, it's not a Zhonya, it's sometimes a Brock.
Kitchen. I think I put it in the kitchen.
I think it's sometimes a Brock. So I think for me, if he was available, is Fazil available for this, George, or not?
let's make Fazil available. I mean, his rules are out, and as a developer, I would assume you'd be the first person to have one in the model. So
he is out for Warfare Weekend, but I'd take Rikir and Fazil. You then get a good 2-inch reach guy who's not fate intensive. Fazil can apply poison, which is a good synergy with Rikir. I think Fazil works well with both Chan and Dhonrakha, because I played Dhonrakha fairly aggressive when I play him as well, and I played a game against Tirith the other day where I used Fazil and Dhonrakha together as my front line, and it was really effective. So I normally buy Fazil the agility boots, and in this instance I would give Rikir the Vorpal Blade. That's the order I'd do stuff. I think that'd be my 4. So I've got Chan, Dhonrakha, Rikir and Fazil. That's got redundancy for aggressing melee and redundancy for defender. The next 3 are where it gets a lot more difficult, but that's me for now. So we'll go to George, and he can pick his second.
Okay. Yeah. So the second batch of heroes that I would focus on, I think, would be my aggressor package as well, because it largely dictates what supporting models you want.
Yep.
Right, because you want to choose your support models to synergize as much as you can with your aggressors, so that you can get a really good damage output. For me, my first aggressor is going to be easy. It's going to be Thorgar.
Yep.
Purely because he's good. He does everything, and I've played him since day one. He's been my main aggressor since day one, and despite being nerfed twice, he's still my favorite. He's still my favorite aggressor by far.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty much a no-brainer.
And for me, and I think if Fazil wasn't available, I would take Thorgarr, I think. I may take Fazil
Right.
because of, I think, yeah, I 100% agree. And he's awesome. And he's not fate intensive at all. And yep. Okay. So you've got Thorgarr. Yep. So keep going. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, and then I would think about what I would want. I've recently become a fan of the ranged aggressors.
Yep.
Especially with Victor. Victor's been very good to me in the last time, and I think I have enough play experience with him that I can do, especially on Scorched Earth, I can do quite a few things that tend to catch my opponents off guard. One second, I gotta control my dogs here. Hold on, 1 second. Hey!
Probably a bit hot for the dog.
Okay, I'm back.
Okay, awesome.
So my initial temptation would be to go for two ranged heroes, not per se aggressors, but people with an 8-inch gun, 8+, or
Yep.
maybe even 7 if need. So the question is this is the really tricky one. I would have available to me Alendir, Victor, and Jaeger, because those are the three heroes that I consider to be the most useful slash powerful ranged heroes.
Yep.
Alendir, just in terms of raw damage that he can do, he has amazing effigy killing potential, and he has the almost, yeah, I would consider this almost mandatory fire that you should bring
Yep.
to your seven, simply because in particular in certain matchups, fire can be really game changing. You know, if your opponent is bringing Saiyan and a couple of Minotaurs and you don't have fire, then it can very easily spiral out of control. Or if they bring a Haxar and some Minotaurs. I mean, the game that you and I had against each other, the grudge match, illustrated this perfectly. Like, if you guys watch the video, if you just look at the synergy between the aggressors defenders and the Haxar heals, it's a very, very powerful combination. And if your opponent doesn't have spike damage and they don't have fire, then it can be almost impossible for them to get through. So ideally you want a hero to be able to take that away from them. I think Alendir takes is also a really great ban target. Let's be honest here.
Yeah,
I
he
think
is. Yeah.
there are certain war bans where people would just be like, no, I auto ban Alendir. I have to auto ban Alendir or I lose the game.
Yep.
So I think purely from those strengths that he brings, and the fact that he's so powerful in the pick and ban meta game, I think I would bring Alendir as my
Cool.
second aggressor. And then the question becomes, what kind of utility am I looking for my other one? So then it's between Victor and Jaeger. Now, currently, I run Victor and Jaeger together, and I'm really happy with both of them.
Yep.
But if I were to bring Alendir, then I would have Shan, Styx, and Alendir, which are three heroes which ideally want to be using a fate every single turn. Now, depending on the matchup, I'm only probably going to be taking two of those heroes. Right, I would choose based on what my opponent is bringing. If they have, you know, a lot of guns, I might not bring Styx because he can get sniped out. If, you know, they have a lot of low agility heroes or people with regen, I would prioritize Alendir, and then whatever second hero that I use kind of takes a more passive, low fate play style. You know, which is perfectly fine. You can do that with Shan, you can do that with Styx. Alendir, you can play without fate, but you know, every once in a while getting off those
Yeah, it's so
three man
good.
fires is just it's crazy. So I would be tempted to bring Jaeger instead, purely because of the fact that he has a lower fate footprint. You know, Victor has a potentially very high fate footprint,
Cool.
which of course, you know, pays off with the fact that you get a lot for it. I mean, I'm gonna miss not having Dog Khan, but I think Jaeger provides me with a couple of extra things that allow me to really tailor my playstyle to a particular map. He's very strong at playing on flanks. He's very, very strong at taking at shrine games, at taking contesting shrines, and he has a very powerful set of abilities in that he's one of the few heroes that on the first turn can contest a shrine on the midline with two walks, which means he can walk and retire somebody to set up for turn two.
Yep. Okay.
Which is
I agree. Strong. Yeah, I think it's you've got a good. So you've got Shan, Thorgar, Alendir, and Jaeger at the moment.
Yeah.
So we've got. So that's your four, and I got my four. So for me, for the next phase, I now decide whether I want to play a soul harvesting game or not. Lately, I've been tending not to. I always also realize that I don't have any ranged at all. So the person that always finds his way into almost every competitive warband I do is Cavato. So I'm going to put him in. Cavato, once again, has a poison synergy with Rakir, with his melee. He also provides a very handy ranged magic attack, which is 6 inches and puts people on fire. So, and obviously he's got his awesome fate ability of moving people around. So the combination of him and Shan, I've got two models that can alter the map, can alter the battle out of activation, to alter the position of another model. So I'd almost certainly put Cavado in. And that gives me my, that's five. Now, Don Raka is a backup for Shan. So if I just, so my actual four I want to play, when I go to a tournament, I always have five, my ideal five. So at the moment, Shan, Rakir, Fazil, and Cavado is an awesome four. And Don Raka is the backup for Shan. So I've still got one, two, three, four, five, I've got two more spots left. At this point in time, I'd want to probably have a backup for either Cavado or Rakir and Fazil. The obvious one that I'd do at the moment would be a Kogan. So if I drop a Kogan in there, that gives me, he can do a bit of ranged. So if Cavado is the one that goes, Kogan can work. He's got a great knockdown, which synergizes with everybody. And he's also awesome with Shan, because Shan can drag him into positions where he can aim and go crazy with his gun. He's also good if Rakir or Fazil get banned. He's a good utility that he's good in melee. As a melee aggressor, he can actually offer as a secondary. So I think at the moment, my six would be Shan, Rakir, Fazil, Cavado, and then Don Raka and Kogan, leaving me one spot to fill. So at this point, I'll hand over to George. And what would you do next, George?
So at this point, I would also be thinking about how I'm going to interact with souls. Yeah. So I would choose one of two strategies. Either I would go for actively soul gazing myself to try and get an advantage, which is pretty strong, because if you win or lose the roll off and you end up getting first turn, having a soul gazer is potentially very powerful. Yes. Because you can start harvesting an advantage and you can put a clock on your opponent. With all the soul gazers, I have to go to my favorite, which is Svetlana. I think
Svetlana.
Yes, I would pick Svetlana for a couple of reasons. She's a soul gazer, which gives me another avenue, another potential win condition that I can leverage. There are many games where she has won me the game pretty much single-handedly, because she's just harvested like three souls or something in the space of a couple of turns. I think out of all of the soul gazers, she is the most able to fulfill roles outside her soul gazing capacity. I think the res 2 against melee weapons just makes her incredibly strong. Like she is a legitimate off tank. I've used her many times before to contest shrines, because the rest of my warband is pretty fragile.
Yep.
So having a soul gazer that can for a turn or two fill in that gap to allow me to contest, and then that way one of my squishier heroes doesn't have to put himself in danger by contesting. You know, I don't like having to contest a shrine with Jaeger because people tend to rush him and he takes a lot of, he ends up taking a lot of damage.
Yeah.
So I prefer to do it with someone that I'm very confident in can take the damage and can do something useful even if they're engaged in combat, right? So if Svetlana gets stuck in combat with somebody, she can still soul harvest. And I've done it before where people like try to crowd her out and engage her. They do surprisingly little damage to her because of her high res. I have many heroes in my team that can pull her out or pull her to safety or heal her up or protect her somehow. So normally she ends up surviving always one turn longer than my opponent expects. Plus for her, the 5 hit points of fate heal is super strong. Like, that is serious value for money.
Yep.
Because you're undoing more work because of the res 2. You're effectively you're effectively healing, like, I don't know, 10 hit points worth of damage.
Because it's so hard to chip her away.
Exactly. Yep. So hard to chip away. You can undo all of that work. So I would pick Svetlana for
Svetlana is in your... So that's also, your 5.
Also, to top it off, she's super strong on Scorched Earth.
Yes, she is.
She's the only one who can teleport, soul harvest a soul on your opponent's side of the map, and then teleport back.
Yeah, soul harvest with her fate and action ability. Yeah, that's interesting. All right, so you've got, that's your 5. Now, George, is that the 5 that you'd want to play with? Are your next 2 now going to be backups for bands, or you haven't got thought about that yet? Or you don't do that strategy?
This is 4 of the 5. So I would want Svetlana, I would want Thorga, and I would want Charm to be on the table because I think they all synergize really well with each other. Another reason why I bring Svetlana is because I have Charm, right? Yeah. If I have Charm, then Svetlana's movement 3 is not a big deal. Yeah. I can pull her up the field, turn 1, and put her into position to either walk monster control, which she can still do as long as you have, you know, the friendly move capability, or just walk 3 times into a really, really, really annoying position for my opponent.
All right, cool. So, and Alan Deere and Jaeger are the ones that you
Alan Deere and Jaeger, I would pick one of the 2 based on what my opponent is bringing.
Okay, excellent. Now, my last position now. So this one would vary a lot depending on what's going on. I've to pick my best 5. I actually haven't yet. I've got 4 locked in, and I've got 2 backups in Dunraken and Kogan. So this is the model that I'd want to choose if they happen to ban anything that's on the board at the moment. I've got a reasonable backup. So this is the one that's the 5th one. Now, normally, if I was playing for the World Champs tomorrow, I would have to slot in Haxar. So my starting 5 then would be Charm, Rakir, Fazeel, Kavado, Haxar. I've got 2 guys that are Soul Harvest 4, Kavado, Haxar. Actually, say Charm as well, so there's 3 in my starting 5. I've got 2 good, strong melee aggressors. I've got a decent ranged with Kavado plus the movement shenanigans. I've got awesome healing, a melee 3 weapon in Haxar. So that's where I'd probably slot him in. Other options for that one are a thing like a Saiyan or a Cruel to get some soul gazing and a bit of utility. But yeah, I think if I was being serious, I think that's the 7. So my 7 would be Charm. So Charm and Dunraken for defenders, Rakir and Fazeel for melee aggressors. I've got Kogan as well, Kavado and Haxar. That's my 7. So George, you've got to pick. Now by the way, we're going to play this game. We're going to play it. We're going to have a vassal showdown of these warbands and we'll stream it. But
so, for the world finals, by the way, we're playing the world finals. We're like, what? Yeah, we just decided.
So what would you choose? Now you got 2 more spots to go. Mine 7's been revealed.
That's right. So yeah. Who would you pick? So I have 2 more spots to go, and this is where it gets really tough. So I only have 1 melee aggressor. So right now I'm in a position where if my opponent bans my Thorgar out from under me, which is very likely to happen, I'm potentially in big trouble. So I need someone who can fill that gap. Now, the thing is, I actually don't really like most of the melee aggressors that much.
Yep.
I'm not like a super, super huge fan. I mean, I like Kogan, but I wouldn't use Kogan as a melee aggressor. He can melee if he wants to, but I see him more as a high damage utility ranged hero, right? He's not someone that I can send in deep to try and get that kill. Mainly because when you do send him into melee to try and get a kill, for some reason his chainsaw always seems to just run out of gas halfway through. So, as far as that's concerned, he's not reliable enough to be able to get the high reliability dice spike that I would want. If I see a hero on 6 life or 5 life, and I want to send someone in to walk charge all across the table to get to snipe him out, I would want someone who's really good at that. Now, Thorgar's really good at that because if they're on 6 hit points, then he can just charge and get the crit, and if they're on 4 hit points, then I just walk and enrage slam for a 100% reliability kill. So that's really good. I really like that. For my last aggressor slot, I'm not a huge fan of Brock or Sonya because I think they're a little bit too focused for my tastes. Although Brock can be, I mean, surprisingly tanky considering the fact that he's completely naked. I think I'm overloaded on guns already, which makes Kogan not really that amazing. Although he does really like Retarius as a buff for his
Yeah, it's a
gun.
mad combination.
You know, if I can get a Retarius off on you and I haven't activated Kogan yet, you better be scared because I'm coming for you. But I think I'd actually my best option would be Lord Fazil.
Oh, Fazil's making an appearance in both our war vents. Wow.
I think Fazil brings something that is unique, but is also, once again, I'm looking for someone who's going to go pretty easy on the fate, right? I want to save my fate for my ranged heroes. I either want to use it for doing massive damage with Allendir, or I want to use it to gain massive board control by using Shan, or I want to use it to gain a massive soul advantage by using Astral Intervention on Svetlana. Those are my three preferred uses of fate. Alternate as last option, I also want to during the game want to spend one or two fate in making sure Thorgar gets the Tome of Experience so I can get him to level 3 on the top of turn 2, preferably. But that's, you have to decide that dynamically, you know, based on what monsters you get. If I get an Ashtooth, I get an Ashtooth and I get the kill on turn 1, chances are I'm probably gonna just boost up Thorgar to level 3 because then he doesn't have to spend any fate for the rest of the game,
Rest of
and
the
you can
game.
just let him just you can just let him do his thing, right? That's my favorite position to be
So
in.
you've got
So I'm gonna
six
go.
Fizil.
Yeah, I've got my 6. Yeah. So then the question is, who would I use for my 7th? So I've got my melee aggressors covered, even in case of bans. I have my ranged damage dealers covered in case of bans with Jaeger and Allendir. If they ban Shan, I have a kind of fallback defender that I can use to contest shrines, which would be Svetlana. However, I think it would be nice to have one more person that is strong in the midfield. Right, because right now I don't have a lot of midfielders. I have Svetlana and Shan, who are my frontliners. I have Allendir and Jaeger. I have Allendir, which is my backliner, and I have Jaeger, which is my flanker. Right, so Allendir and Jaeger do not want to play on the front or on the mid line because they're too exposed. Fazil is really good to hold back and to commit last, so I don't want to activate him early. So if they ban potentially my Shan, I'm not going to have many heroes that I can send in first. If you get into a Mexican standoff situation, you want to have one hero in your warband that you can send in first that can either take a beating or can protect himself in such a way that you can then capitalize on your opponent committing something into him. And I think I would be tempted to use Haxar for this purpose. And if I were to use Haxar, I would use. So it's between Haxar and Skull. I think, surprisingly, they both fill the same niche. They both want to be adjacent to shrines to contest and to be annoying, and they both want to be nearby friendly heroes that are taking damage so that they can heal them.
Yep.
So I think this would be this is pretty much a coin toss between Skull and Haxar. Now the problem I have with Haxar is that I don't have that many heroes that want the healing, because a lot of my heroes are going to be too far away from the action to benefit. On the other hand, I like Haxar because he gives me something very strong. He gives me very strong counterplay into high agility heroes, which in my current warband, I don't really have that much. I mean, I have Alan Deer and Fazil, who have naturally high dice pools in their attacks, so that helps. I have Shan to do a little bit of auto damage, and I have Thorlak to do a little bit of auto damage, but I don't think it's enough. So I think I would probably pick Haxar with the intention of getting him a very, very early Boots of Agility.
Haxar and then level using five, Agility 5, yeah. Yep.
As a tank, yeah.
Okay.
Agi 5, Haxar on a shrine with a healing totem out.
Yeah.
Should probably run an equal amount, if not more, interference than a Skull.
Okay, so we've got them locked in. We've got two repeats. We've both got Fazil. We've both got Haxar. I've both got Shan. There's three repeats out of the seven. That's interesting in itself. So, all right, I think we'll play this game, George. What do you think?
I think so, too.
I'm excited. I looked at my warband. It's just so typical me. It's pretty cut and dried, no fancy stuff going on, but I think it's effective, so... We'll see how it goes. We'll try to get this game in when we can, and we'll actually do a stream of it. You happy with your seven, George?
Actually, I don't know. I'm thinking about that last slot. This last slot is really difficult because it's on the one hand, tactically, I would want either Haxar or Skull, but then on the other hand, I don't have sticks yet. And I feel personally that any warband that doesn't include sticks
is not optimal.
Is per definition not optimal.
You want to replace Haxar with sticks?
Yeah, let's do that. Let's replace Haxar with sticks. Just because, I mean, not because I have any specific goals that I want him to do, just because he just does everything and he's amazing and he's my favorite hero and he's just the man. He's just the man. And sometimes... he can be really clutch because he can counter any ability in the game, and that can potentially I've haven't used it yet myself. I should have used it in my vassal game, in my grudge match against you.
Yep.
I should have used it, and if I had, I think that game would have gone a lot different.
Yeah.
So I think for those reasons and the fact that I really love the mobility and the table control that he gets me, I'm going to have to go with him.
Okay. All right. So we've got two the same then. So the seven is George has got Shan, Thorgar, Svetlana, Fazil, Alandir, Jaeger, and Styx. And Guns has got Shan, Rakir, Fazil, Kavato, Haxar, Donraka, and Kogan. We're going to play it. We'll randomize the map. It can either be Scorched Earth or Cobblestone. We'll randomize which one it is out of those two.
Let me get my massive metal judgment dice to randomize this. We can do it right now.
You want
to
do it now? Okay.
Yeah. So, what is it? Blanks and movement symbols is a cobblestone, and a damage symbol is going to be what is it?
Scorched
Earth. Okay. Yeah. Here we go. Ah, that's a J. So we're playing Scorched Earth.
Okay. And now we can roll. Have you got a D6 there somewhere?
No, I do not. I've got one here. I only have judgment dice.
Good answer. That's what every gamer should have. Let me just roll my D6.
That's it.
It's map one. That's what I rolled.
Map. Okay.
So, Scorched Earth map one. The World Championship is on. We'll play it on Vassal. So we'll try to do it as close to this as we can. That's actually, we just hit on the hour, I think, too, with the podcast. So that's quite handy, or just below it. Great, George. That's excellent. Thanks a lot for going through that. We didn't plan this before. You actually heard live our thought processes and the reasoning behind the warbands, which I think is quite interesting. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's off the cuff.
Yeah, we both came with pretty strong things. I think mine looks a little bit one-dimensional, but I don't know, it looks pretty strong. So I'm willing to stick to my guns and we'll give it a go.
Well, you definitely have the damage output on your side.
Yeah, I have got a fair bit of damage. That's for sure.
You have the raw beef. I have a bit more of the
More guile on your side.
A bit more guile. Yeah,
it's quite cool. All right. Thanks everybody for joining us. George, any last comments you want to make before we head off?
Yes, I would like to use this opportunity to officially challenge the Judgment Day podcast crew to a showdown of the podcasts.
Oh, that's awesome.
One-on-one matches on Vassal. Let's do it.
Okay, so we're going to do... All right, so they'll pick two. They're two champions, and they're playing against both of us. Is that what's happening?
They can... I've thrown down the gauntlet. It's up to them to either deny the challenge and live forever in shame, or to accept the challenge and to put forth their own conditions, whatever they may want. They may even choose our warbands for us, if they want.
Are you serious? What, they're picking
out? I'm serious. I will play any warband that they give me, including 5 Soulgazer warbands, if they really want to do it.
Are you going to put some parameters around it so they have to pick one defender, at least one defender, one aggressor, or not? You're going with, are you drawing me into this? Am I doing the same thing? They're picking our warbands. Are you that confident?
I'm volunteering you for this as well. Yes. All right. No, I will. No, we'll let them. They can set the rules that they want. Obviously, we have to agree to it. If it's super duper ridiculously crazy, then obviously, you know, it's going to be a little bit weird. But I'm pretty flexible as far as that's concerned.
Okay. All right.
I'll even play a warband that they pick for me, just for the fans.
I'll do the same thing, I guess. I don't mind doing that. So, all right. So they'll have a listen. We'll make sure they hear the challenge, and we'll get that happening at some stage as well. Thank you very much for listening to the podcast. Please subscribe to the podcast if you like it. Drop us a line if you've got any questions or comments. This is episode 18. We'll keep churning them out. I might do a special Gen Con podcast when I'm over there. I'll get Chain Attack Jay Larson on the podcast, which would be great. And I'll be there with Jeffrey as well. So we'll churn out some content. And I'll catch up with George when I get back. If we get a chance to have a game before we go, that'll be fantastic. So we'll see whether we can wrangle that on the weekend.
Maybe we can make that happen in the next couple of days.
Yeah. So thank you, George. Appreciate it. Hope it gets a bit cooler in good old Holland. And we'll see you online, Discord. So everybody, we've got a massive, awesome Discord community. So come and check it out. And it's a good place to pick up Vassal games as well. And looking forward to revealing the new hero at Gen Con. Exciting.
Yeah, yes. Keep your eyes peeled. Yes. It's going to be super amazing. I'm so stoked for them.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Have a good time, and we'll speak to you soon. Cheers.
See ya.